Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, it's another solo episode in my home in Jersey, in New Jersey. New Jersey, but I struggled to say it. So, and today is a very special episode because it's the only episode out of all the episodes so far that is the 20th episode. And if I've done my math correctly, it's going to be the only episode out of all the episodes ever in this history and the history and the future of this podcast that will be the 20th episode. So are you hooked? Probably. Cool. In this episode, I have a lot to catch you up on. First of all, I've been gone for a few weeks or like a month and a half or something ridiculous and crazy. And I'm so sorry. And I'm going to give you all the excuses very shortly. So call me dear Aunt Sally, because would you please excuse me? It's been a weird month or two, and I want to catch you up on it. The other thing I want to do, since it's the 20th episode special, is reflect on couch surfing so far. Because I've been doing this for like almost 9 months now, and a lot has changed. And I think a lot has still got to change. Because I just tried to do couch surfing in LA for a week, where I was hopping between couches, a bunch of creators in LA, and it was... I'll talk about what that was, but it's just made me think a lot about this podcast and the future of the podcast, and it's made me finally ask the question, was this a bad idea? Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. So at any point, you can just start the episode, and don't be shy. Just whenever you want, you can just cut me off and get right into it, because I don't really have much else to say before the music starts, so any point would be really nice, honestly, if you could do it really soon, please. Okay, hey, it's me now on the other side of the music, which feels more like I'm speaking to you rather than like I'm announcing what I'm going to be speaking to you about. It's been a while. It's been way too long, and I've tried to sit down and record this episode over and over and over. I've just been getting so stressed and in my head about it because I've just been like so kind of honestly stressed about this project and about the future of it, but I feel like I have the clearest answer so far as to what needs to happen, and so I just kind of wanted to fill you in on what I've been thinking. First of all, the past month or so has been kind of annoying for me, and so I'm going to complain and give you my list of, you know, minor inconveniences that I went through that I'm going to make more dramatic for your entertainment and sympathy, okay? First things first, I did the thing that I always do when I'm running out of a medication, which is not realize that I'm running out of a medication until I've run out of the medication. And so I called my mom and I was like, I've run out of the medication. And she was like, did you do that thing that you always do where you don't realize that you've run out of medication until you've run out of the medication? And I said, yes, mom. This medication is Lexapro, which if you don't know what that is, it's an anti-anxiety antidepressant. And not that I have anxiety or depression, it's that I'm anti-anxiety and anti-depression. I don't believe in them and I'm against them. No, I've been on Lexapro for like 2 years now, almost. Is that right? Three? Almost three. Oh, no. I believe in medicine and, you know, you gotta do whatever you gotta do. Oh my, okay. I got on it a while ago when I was like still living with my parents after I graduated high school. That's not so much important. What's important is the fact that if you suddenly stop it after taking it for almost 3 years, suddenly you find yourself going through withdrawals that have you crying at Phineas and Ferb video essays. And that's just what my doctor told me. This isn't personal experience. No, but I actually had a week there where I was just out of medication because I've moved to a new state. And so I have a new site. I need a new psychiatrist and a new pharmacist and a new everything again. And I, had a bit of a rough week emotionally. And by rough, I mean like it wasn't like the world was actually ending. It just kind of like felt like it. And it was annoying because I like knew why I was feeling bad. Like I knew why I was so upset. I knew why I was like crying at like Rhett and Link spinning the wheel of mythicality. And I knew that like my emotions were like pretty irrational and that it was just like a chemical imbalance in my brain. But still, that didn't change the fact that I was really upset and angry and all mood swings all over the place. And so I just want to say, if you are someone out there who ovulates, shout out. And I'm sorry, because I'm not saying that what I went through was anywhere close to having a period. I'm going to end the sentence there. Because actually I'm like hearing myself out loud and I'm like, I'm trying to make like a little bit of a joke comparison, but also I'm like, some of you might be upset, and not upset because you're on your period or, but if you were, that'd be okay. And if you were, oh no, I dug myself into the period hole, slang for vagina. Okay. I'm sorry. We can cut that or keep it in. Editor's choice. Anyway, I was going through mood swings and I was really upset about it. And when I got back on my meds, I went to the farmer's market and then I bought like bread and fruit and then like sat out in the park and like just like looked around and was like, life is so like the people around me are so beautiful. Like we all are just connected. And like, it was really a beautiful experience. And then I felt a nagging pain in my skull that felt like a bone was growing through my skull. And that's because a bone was growing through my skull. My wisdom teeth are coming in, or were coming in, and they were not entering into places they were welcome. They were pushing everything around, and I was having really, really bad headaches, but not like headaches that made it feel like I had like hit my head the night before. Like I kept waking up being like, did I like sleepwalk on my head? Did I turn upside down in the middle of the night and bounce around on the top of my head? And turns out I needed my wisdom teeth taken out. So that was week number two of me being out of service. And that was really frustrating because I'm someone who does not like to be defenseless. I'm someone who doesn't like to not be in their prime condition, because then what if someone comes after me and I'm rendered useless? So yeah, I had to get my wisdom teeth taken out, and I just want to say, like, my dentist is gay. I got a new dentist here, and he's a gay dentist, and I just, like, I won't talk too much about the dentist thing, because I know that, like, a lot of people really don't like dentist talk, and honestly, I don't want to think about the holes in my mouth right now. Great. Now I'm thinking, okay. But I got to the dentist office, and I was like, hey, like, by the way, my friend let me know, like, I should probably let you know that I have a high alcohol tolerance. And that's not just something I was saying to try to impress the dentist. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much a bad boy. That's because I didn't want to, I heard that if you have a high alcohol tolerance, which like randomly I do, that you might wake up during the anesthesia. Like you might wake up during the surgery. Like they put you under and they might need like more anesthesia. So like if you have a higher alcohol tolerance, you're supposed to tell them so that they can give you more anesthesia. And I told him that, and I had the most embarrassing moment of my life, because it just seemed like I was bragging, because he was like, we're not putting you under. Huh? Wait, what? Okay. Oh, so you mean I'm going to be awake while you pull teeth out of my mouth? And turns out, yes, I was awake and they gave me two stress balls, and I held it onto those stress balls and I just sang Hamilton lyrics in my head over and over again so that I could focus on anything other than the dentist. And I'm done with dentist talk now. Okay. If you're getting scared, that's all I'm going to talk about, because I don't want to think about it anymore. Anyway, so then I had a swollen face and I had to recover and eat mashed potatoes and macaroni and jello and pudding and all of the soft foods. My recovery process actually went pretty well. Like I was getting really fear-mongered by like everyone around me and also the internet about like how it's the worst pain I'm going to be in my entire life. But my healing process was really good. But also I have a theory that like if there is a job out there and a gay man is doing it, he's probably gonna do it really well. Unless it's listening. Unless it's a job that requires listening, requires you to be listened to. But I feel like you know, being bullied at the age of 13 relentlessly until you graduate high school builds character that then leads to wisdom teeth extraction skills. And I truly believe that. So I had a great recovery, and it only took like 4 or 5 days before I was like ready to get back at it. And then I got really sick. So I was sick for a week. And so that was like a 3-week stretch of just like me really wanting to do stuff, but just like not physically being able. And that was so actually frustrating because I'm like so excited to make things right now. And I feel in the best headspace to make things that I have in a really long time. And I really, really love the place that I moved and the people I'm around. And I just think I have a great support system and community right now, and just like so much inspiration and so many ideas and so many things I want to make. And so I'm glad to have that month or so of health hurdles behind me. And I used a lot of that time to think about couch surfing. I started this podcast because I didn't want to live in North Carolina with Mr. Beast anymore. And I'm so glad I got out of there because now he got these veneers and it's so scary. It looks like one big top tooth and one big bottom tooth. It's literally how you would like draw a smile. But yeah, I mean, if you've been watching this podcast, you know, and you've heard me talk about Mr. Beast. And honestly, I'm getting to a point where I like really, really don't like talking about Mr. Beast, and not even in like the like attention seeking way where I'm like, I don't really like talking about it. It actually really affected me and I really went through something. So ask me more questions about it so that you can feel bad for me. It's like I'm actually getting to a point where I'm like sick of him and he makes me a little bit sick to like think about and look at and like watch. And that like charity stream he did recently, like, great. I'm not gonna dog on him for charity right now. Dog on him? Is that something I ever say? Sorry, I just moved in with 4 straight men and I don't know what they're doing to my vocabulary. It's really scaring me. But I'm not gonna eat him up about his charity stream. That's better because, you know, he is raising millions of dollars for charity. And if you try to criticize him for anything, he'll just remind you that he's raising millions of dollars for charity. But it was interesting the fact that everyone I feel like that was the first time in a while that the public got to see just like what he's like. And it was like really scary to like see clips, not even in my own feed. People like will send me clips because they're like, yo, did you see this? Didn't you used to work with the guy? Or they are, everyone's confused on my relation to Mr. Beast. I am too. But I am pretty sure the father-in-law thing is true, that he's my father-in-law. So let's keep spreading that rumor around. But I see these clips where it's just like him being him, which not many clips of that exist on the internet. Usually he's being like Mr. Beast, not Jimmy. But it's like been really, really, really like a scary reminder of like how detached and like egocentric he is. Like the way that he just like sits back and acts on that stream is scary. And that's all I want to say. I'm scared. But that's been kind of a reminder of why I started all of this. Which is the fact that I like wanted to humanize creativity for myself again. I feel like just so much of, obviously, when you run a multi-million dollar company like Mr. Beast and you're making content, you have to make decisions based on money. But that doesn't mean that you have to like engineer everything you do to like scam people out of their own attention, if that makes sense. Like, that's kind of what the creator economy has become, is like who can trick people into watching their stuff the longest. And it's like, that's like really disrespectful to your audience. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I'm making points today on the Couch Surfing podcast. And I guess like seeing the people that I was friends with like in North Carolina on the screen in Mr. Beast videos in this like two-dimensional light where they're like not even themselves. They're like these Mr. Beastified puppet versions of themselves that like are devoid of like human qualities was really scary and started to really depress me and really intimidate me and really discourage me from making my own stuff and from putting my own personality into my stuff and taking risks. And I was learning a lot about like how to make good thumbnails and intros and, you know, get people to watch your stuff, which is all like important. But I also didn't want to keep going down the path of like trying to make every single person like you and also trying to be better than everyone else, because those two things are just not possible, especially together. And I think, like, subconsciously, like, whether I realized it or not, I was picking up on some of that stuff of, like, not wanting to take risks because of my fear of, like, not being liked, you know? And yeah, I'm going to talk about a lot of this in a YouTube video soon, so I don't want to get too into it, but, like, that's kind of how I left North Carolina feeling. It was like, I just wanted to feel human again and not like a product for people to consume. And I wanted to kind of be able to hide as well, I think was a big part of it. Like, I was tired of being seen. And this has been the perfect project for that. I feel like just sitting down and talking to the camera and not having really to, like, I just have to, like, watch it back once and then upload it. Like, there's no room to, like, overthink it or, like, manufacture the way that I come across. And that's just been, like, I feel really healing in a way. Can I say healing? I did. I just feel like over the past 8 months or so, I don't know, however long I've been couch surfing, I have gotten to spend so much more time with myself, and not time alone. I mean, yeah, a lot of time alone, but I was spending a lot of time alone when I was living in North Carolina, but I was spending a lot of that time distracting myself from my own company. And couch surfing, like, the only constant as I move from place to place has been myself. And so, like, the friendship that I've been able to build with myself, and when I'm not so worried about, like, branding myself or, like, defining myself and packaging it and then, like, shipping it off to everyone on the internet, like, that is when I've, like, I feel like I've had, like, room and permission to, like, grow. And I really, really, really needed that. So thank you for, I guess, just watching and giving me the option to do that, because I know that not everyone can just, like, pick up everything and start couch surfing across the world. And by world, I mean two countries. But, like, isn't that what artists do? They do two countries and then call it a world tour. Okay, yeah. I feel like this project has helped me really recover from burnout. And if you're struggling with something like that, with burnout or, like, the pressure of, like, you know, there's this, like, pressure that's, like, amplified by social media to, like, know exactly who you are and then to take that, like, palatable, definable version of yourself and, like, put it on the internet for everyone else to validate. And that is terrible for your brain. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Please take it. For me, it's bad, and I think we all do it. Maybe I'm accusing you of something you don't do, but if you do it, it would make me feel less alone, okay? But speaking of feeling less alone, it is something that we all do, genuinely. Like, because I have spent time with a bunch of people couch surfing and being able to see people up close and all these, like, people that, like, I look up to or, like, was fans of at one point or still am a fan of, just, like, really cool, incredible, talented people who, like, I, you know, compare myself to and think they have it all together. And then I see that, like, they're just guessing as much as I am. And they're just worried about all the same things that I am, or, like, feel lonely in the ways that I do, or all the pressure that we all feel. And I guess my advice, not that you're asking for it, but I don't think I've ever given solicited advice in my life, is to be vulnerable with yourself and with other people in real life for a while. And it's uncomfortable and it's hard and it requires a lot of failure and a lot of embarrassment, but eventually that embarrassment just goes away, and eventually that failure just builds your resilience and your humility and, like, encourages you to grow. And now I'm starting to sound like one of those, like, aesthetic self-help videos, and so I'm trying really not to. They wouldn't do that, would they? And what's really made the difference for me over the past 9 months has been being vulnerable with people and talking to real people. And it makes me realize that the internet is not representative of real people. Duh. But like, it's hard to remember that sometimes. I feel like the more that I've put myself out there and taken risks and just pushed through awkwardness and embarrassment, the more connection I've felt and the more like I don't worry about other people's opinions. Because it's like, oh, I'm sharing all these conversations with other people and doing all these things and putting myself out there. It's like I'm starting to become a more interesting person by doing more interesting things and then therefore starting to like myself. And then once I start to like myself and become friends with myself, I can then become friends with other people. And then suddenly no other opinion about me matters except for the one that I have. And if I have a good opinion about myself, it'll positively impact other people's lives. What? Wait, okay, random. Anyway, I feel like I've lived like 5 years of life in like the past 9 months, and I'm the wisest, most correct person on the planet now because of it. No, but like jumping from one person's life to another, it's just like so much has happened in the past 9 months that it's hard to even know where to begin. But I just wanted to hopefully scrape a little bit of the surface, and hopefully I just did some of that, and also have a YouTube video that tries to do more of that. But every time I try to completely articulate everything about my life and about myself, I get really frustrated because I'm never gonna do it perfectly. And then we bring it back to the whole thing of like, it's not possible to define yourself and give it to other people for other people's opinions. So why are we trying so hard all the time? And oh my, okay, I'm just gonna freak out. So it's been a lot of good learning and a lot of good experience. But it's also, that's been because of the failure and because of the challenge. In July, beginning of July, I was in LA couch surfing, and I think it was probably the most challenging time out of all of this. I think like beginning of May, I started to like reach out to people in LA, just like people I knew or like people I didn't or people I was fans of, and just sending so many DMs asking people if they'd let me sleep on their couch for their for my podcast. And I got, I think, 9 people to say yes and agree and like we're down and had a couch, and it was awesome. And then I followed up with said 9 people every single week leading up to the trip. And some of them put the dates on the calendar. Others stopped responding as frequently. And then others responded pretty frequently, but with like ambiguous answers of like, oh, let me just see, or like, let me check in with this one person, and I'll let you know. And then like, once they checked in with that person, there was like another problem that arose. And then like every single thing just made it seem like it was going to happen to the point where it like was, I didn't have to worry, but like that I just had to like wait a few extra days and then everything would be okay. Anyway, this went on for weeks. And then finally I went to my trip to LA. First I had VidCon. So that first week, which I think was like the last week of June, I was staying at VidCon. And then that next week I was renting a car and had a couch to sleep on every night, because I was staying 6 nights and I had like 9 people agree. So like 6 nights felt like the right time to book, because I was like, 3 people can flake and I'll still be fine. By the time I got to LA, out of the like 9 people who agreed to be on the Couch Surfing podcast, only 2 had put it on the calendar. So for that, you know, entire extra week that I had booked in LA, I only had 2 couches to sleep on. And I was like, okay, that's okay. I'll just try to find more couches while I'm at VidCon. I'll just, you know, use VidCon as a way to beg people who live here to let me sleep on their couch. And that'll be, you know, my big challenge of the weekend. And that's what I spent a lot of my energy of that weekend doing. And I ended up getting a few more people to agree. And then I had like, I had someone cancel on me the night before, and then like people like flaking back and forth. And it was just like, so discouraging, because it wasn't like people had any kind of valid excuse. It was like all kinds of like LA excuses where you could just tell that it wasn't like being prioritized, which is fine. If you don't want to do it, just say that you don't want to do it, LA, please. Okay. Because it I was really in a bit of a pickle for like a week trying to find places to stay. And that week was just a lot of like me not knowing where I was going to sleep the next night. And me just like messaging everyone I can, asking anyone I can to let me sleep on their couch. And it was really, really stressful and really taxing. And also like the consequences of my own actions, I'm aware. But I just wish that like I knew that people were gonna say no, you know, like I just wish that they had, I guess. I wish that I wasn't like strung along and then like, I don't know. I guess like it just felt very LA and it felt very flaky and it was really, really exhausting. And I got 4 episodes from LA that I really think are great episodes. I don't know. I just don't like being dismissed. I'm fine to be rejected. I've had plenty of that over the past 9 months. My entire job has been rejecting my, or has been being, has been, has been being, re- my entire job has been being rejected. Nice. I feel like my entire job for the past 9 months has just been like DMing everyone and then getting like 5% of people to say yes. And that's like been enough to keep this podcast afloat. But the like prolonged no over like a series of weeks, you know, where I've already booked a flight and rented a car. And then you're just leading me on just to say no was very frustrating and disappointing. Yeah, I'm sure that it would have been a quicker yes from a lot of people if maybe this were like a bigger show, which I understand that's like a business kind of thing, but I just haven't had the time to like grow this channel. Like logistically, this podcast is a kind of a nightmare, as I'm sure you could imagine. It takes a lot of travel just to like get one episode done, and it takes a long commitment just to get one episode done, and it takes a lot of asking to get an episode done, and a lot of like planning and adjusting, and that's fine with me, but it's honestly left like no time for anything else. And I'm really wanting to get back to YouTube soon, and I am going back to YouTube soon, and I'm so excited about it. I just had to be honest about the fact that like I can't do both at once right now. And I thought I came up with a solution, which was to do like entire like weeks in a location where I can like film, you know, like 7 episodes and then just like have 7 weeks of footage after like a week in LA where like that's all I focus on. And then I was going to do like this cute little thing where I do like couch surfing in seasons. So it's like I vlog my trip going from couch to couch in LA and then like post that vlog and then post all of the episodes after that. And I thought that would be really cool because then it's like I could do like an LA season and then like take a few week break until I have like a New York season and then take a few week break and then I do like a European season and then take a few weeks, you know? But when applying that new strategy in LA, I was met with a lot of frustration and failure. And, I just realistically can't have like 90% of my job be booking talent because content creators are apparently allergic to putting things on the schedule, myself included. I mean, you've seen my upload schedule on this channel and my other one, and chill. But I think for the future of couch surfing and for the future of myself so that I can get back to doing the projects I love, I think that this show needs a booker and a producer. Oh my gosh. No. Like, and I hate to say those things because I try to keep my creative projects like not feeling like corporate, you know, but I just can't do the job of like trying to deal with micro internet celebrities all day, every day, and trying to get them on my show. Like, I can't have my job contingent on that anymore because it's been so, it's felt like I'm banging my head up against a wall over and over again. And also, like, the podcast space is so competitive and has become, like, so industry now. Like, how am I supposed to compete with Amy Poehler from Parks and Rec? You know, she has she has an entire team and face and brand, and they're posting clips all the time, and she's having all these celebrities on, and she has these, but, and it's like, I'm not trying to do the whole like comparison game. I know that, like, I'm not trying to make the Amy Poehler podcast. I'm trying to make something different, but it's like the way that every single person in the world has a podcast now, and podcasts have become so relevant that everyone's trying to get on each other's, and it just, like, it's a lot and it's overwhelming in a way that I don't really have time for. And the way to fix that, sorry, I'm having like a business meeting with you right now. I hope that's okay. But like the way to fix that is to get a booker and like a producer. And the way for that to happen is for me to make money, because currently this podcast, it doesn't really make money as much as it loses money, which is honestly fine, because I feel like I've just been like paying for a creative retreat, and to be, you know, de-beastified. But like, yeah, I really want to keep going with this podcast. I really, really do. And I want to get to 100 episodes. But also I want to keep, paying rent and, feeling good just generally. And I don't want to ever have to play the LA games that I had to, last month. I don't know. I feel like I've learned a lot in the past year about the resilience and about how to move forward after you fail, and how important it is to move forward after you fail. And so I'm not giving up. If I was going to give up because this podcast idea was hard, I would have done it like 8 months ago once it started getting hard. Because this has honestly been such a challenging project to figure out. But I can only be resilient for so long before it's just stupidity. And so I kind of have to make the decision that's right for me right now in my business, and what's best for the long run, which what's best for the long run right now, it feels like a little bit of a hiatus while I get back on my feet on YouTube and get, you know, hopefully some money and attention that will help me find the people who want to help me run this thing, because I don't think that it's something that I can really do alone anymore. So yeah, I still have 4 LA episodes that I'm so excited about. I think the guests are amazing, and I remember the episodes being incredible. And I also have a vlog of me couch surfing in LA, or at least attempting to couch surf. And once you watch that, you might understand why I am feeling a bit defeated right now with this project. It's not over, okay? And hopefully it'll be back very soon, because I really do care about this show and believe in it. And I know it's a podcast, but it's honestly, you know, changed my life, and it's not much of a podcast anymore. It's been more of a lifestyle. And now I want to take some time to just like enjoy the place that it's led me, which is to New Jersey. And I've got a great community of creative, talented people around me. I'm so grateful for, and they're no Mr. Beast crew, but they're a pretty close second. And actually, very, very soon, within the next 2 weeks or so, it hasn't been announced, so keep it quiet in the couch surfing community, but there will be a lot of activity on a group vlog channel, which you guys will hear more about on my YouTube. So yeah, keep up with me there. Sorry if this episode feels like I'm putting down a dog. But, like, just know that, like, this dog will be dug out of the ground and revived. And also, you still have 4 episodes from LA and a vlog. And then we'll get back to it eventually. Please, no one steal this podcast idea. I feel like now that I said that, it's definitely going to get... No. Anyway, thanks for being here and being such a great community and for watching this. It's been so cool. And it's not over, so I'm not going to do, like, a whole spiel, because, like, I don't want you guys to think it's over, because it's not over. until I say it's over. And I'm serious about getting to episode 100 of this thing. All right. No matter how many humbling Instagram DMs I have to send. I'm so excited to get back to YouTube and get things going again. And I think it's gonna only make this show even better when it comes back. And I can't wait for you guys to see the other content that I still have for this channel. Yeah, I think that that's basically it. Try something new. Keep putting yourself out there. Keep failing. And keep failing, though, seriously. Go do something and be bad at it. And then do it again and be bad at it, but a little bit less bad. There's a cat outside. Wow, how does it walk on the fence like that? Oh, also, I have a song to add to the playlist that me and the guests have been adding on since I started this. And the song this week is When Can I See You Again by Owl City. I'd love to know, like, your thoughts on the podcast so far, 20 minutes in, as we're doing, like, kind of a reflective, changing episode. So leave a comment and say something, okay? Thanks so much for being here, and I'll see you next time on a different couch. Bye-bye.